Today on Real Radio.
In verses 1 through 9, it's the spiritual examples, really the non-spiritual examples, knowing what not to do in verses 1 through 9. And in verses 10 to 15, it's the strong convictions, and we'll look at that this morning. What we believe as Christians, what do you really believe? What do you really know? We need to have those strong convictions in our Christian life if we're going to make it through these perilous times.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and the young pastor's mentor, Paul, continues to issue warnings about those who pervert and water down the true gospel. He also issues a guarantee to all who follow the Messiah, a guarantee that's not real popular these days. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Follow Those Who Are True.
2 Timothy 3, as we nearly wrap up this book, one more chapter left. We'll go as far as we can today in chapter 3, and then we'll set our sights onward to chapter 4, and then go on to another book of the Bible as we study through the Bible, verse by verse and book by book. And so our hearts are reminded this morning that as Paul penned this incredibly practical and demanding epistle to Timothy, we know enough of God that it wasn't just only written to Tim. It was written to each and every one of us this morning, that God's word is eternal. Jesus Christ himself said that not one jot or one tittle of the Hebrew language that's written in the Bible would pass until all of these things that are written therein be fulfilled. And so God takes his word very, very seriously. And lately, we've come across some portions of scripture that have been very demanding. And we're taught as we study and prepare for the ministry that when you deliver a message, it first has to burn upon your heart, or else don't teach it. If it's not burning and seated within your own heart, then you become nothing more than a playwright and a play actor. You're just simply being a puppet. And we don't want to be that way. And we want to live out in our very lives the scriptures which God has given us. And so because of that, the last couple weeks, they've been hard hitting. And there's been ruffled feathers. But I exhort you in the name of the Lord God that you take those feathers that have been ruffled to Jesus Christ. God is working in our hearts. You know, I stand up here and I smile. And I'm shaking in my boots up here. I'm convicted. I'm made to examine my own life as we go through this. And to be very honest with you, I want to get Timothy taught through, studied, and be done with it as we go on with the church. We'll draw back from it as we grow along, as this fellowship begins to find out its place in the world that he's set before us. But let's remember this, that dear Paul is writing this book. He's an old man, beaten, scarred, in prison, in that Mamertine prison there in Rome, and he's below the streets of Rome, and it's cold. And as we get into chapter 4, we're going to hear his cry, oh, come before winter. I need the cap for my head because it's bitterly cold in here. And we know from the great stones that are there, they're permeated with water and also with raw sewage from the city of Rome. That's his bed. And as this great, incredible man of God is there writing to Timothy this epistle, Luke has got his ear to the gutter, listening from the floor that Luke is leaning upon and writing down the words that Paul is writing. And last time he spoke to our hearts concerning really the theme of this portion of the scripture, and it's the last days. Perilous times will come. He mentioned that, and he exposed to us the people that would come. They would be self-seekers, self-lovers, and we saw in our study that they would be people who would actually want to kiss themselves. They adore themselves. And that would be the attitude of people in the church. Not all people, praise God. But for a lot of people, there would be an attitude, and that there would be a fellowship of self-lovers. And he went through that despicable list of people last week. And it's from that perilous times that he speaks of that we understand that as true Christians, and that's where we're going this morning. For those of you in this room this morning who, if given the opportunity, would stand up and say publicly, I'm a believer. I'm a true Christian, follower of Jesus Christ. If you could say that in your heart and mean it, the Bible and Paul talks about days that are soon coming that will cost us greatly. And we certainly see the tide because of the false brethren that are around us. Now, as we get into this, chapter 3 is basically an excellent composite of three themes that are very domineering in this chapter. Number one, in verses 1 through 9, it's the spiritual examples, really the non-spiritual examples, knowing what not to do in verses 1 through 9. And in verses 10 to 15, it's the strong convictions, and we'll look at that this morning. What we believe as Christians, what do you really believe? What do you really know? We need to have those strong convictions in our Christian life if we're going to make it through these perilous times. And then the third, and very important, is from verses 15 to 17. It's the confidence that we can have in the Word of God, the sureness of the Bible. And so those three excellent characteristics of a strong Christian warrior in these last days: spiritual examples, strong convictions, and a confidence in the Word of God. And so why don't we pick up now where we left off last time in verse 10, and we'll read all the way through and go just about as far as we can this morning. Verse 10, Paul says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of living, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, and afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in these things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from your childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." In verse 10, he just breaks forth, and you need, if you're taking notes, to circle that "but" right there. And it's in contrast to what we studied last week. With all of these bozos and knuckleheads that are out there parading themselves as Christians, not only Christians, Paul warns us, but pulpiteers, elders, deacons, evangelists. We saw last time in verse 7 that they are forever learning. They're PhDs in some respect. They've got all of the head knowledge. "Well, I know all about God." But they don't live like it. Their lives are contradictory to their message. Someone said, and I think it's a wise proverb, "I can't hear what you're saying. Your life is speaking so loud." Isn't that true? We can talk a lot of talk, but boy, are we really walking the walk. And what Paul is saying now, in contrast to all of these guys, but, and it's a beautiful, beautiful contrast. You know, Paul being Hebrew, a scholar, he does what so many of the Proverbs and the Psalms do. He teaches by contrast. Jesus did that. And it draws a black and white picture. And people, you know, before we go any further, I know in modern day living that we are into now, all of these modern day prophets of the secular humanistic view, what are they saying? If it feels good, do it. There are no absolutes. Someone told me, oh boy, someone told me just recently in a parade in San Francisco, and guess what kind of parade it was? They had little children on leashes. I'm glad I didn't see it, and I'm glad I wasn't there. God help us. Days will come when men will call good evil and evil good. Our hearts break. And people, I may be speaking, I know I'm not. I was going to say, I may be speaking to a couple of people in here this morning. I know so many of you. We are Christians. We are not of this world. We follow Jesus Christ and his word. And for the first time in a lot of our lives, we're starting to feel the separation between this world and the world that which is to come. And we look at the news and we see the things that are happening and our hearts break because we are not of this place. And my heart is concerned as Paul's is this morning. He's dying. His head is going to the block. And he passes the baton to Timothy and he says, but you have carefully followed. In the Greek, he says, but you follow. Timothy, you're following. And that must have warmed Paul's heart to no end. All of his ministry, all of his toil, and all of his pain, it derived converts. There were people who truly believed in the Bible, truly believed in the Word of God, and it's dear Timothy. And this word follow in the Greek is a beautiful word. It's para-ekletheo is the word. Para, you remember, alongside. The meaning of the word is to be alongside or to be near, to shadow or to trace. I like that. My little girls are really into tracing. They'll get the magazine, they'll put the paper on top, and they draw this thing out. Oh, Daddy, look what I drew. All right, that looks great. And they color it in. They're mimicking the lines. Paul says to Timothy, but you have mimicked. You have followed. You have followed very near, and the picture's this. And if you have children, you know exactly, and Paul's such a dear father, you bring the little kiddo right alongside. That's what he's saying. Timothy, you've come near, you've come alongside, and you have followed. You have followed all of the ways that I have taught you, all of the things that you've seen. It's a beautiful example. The Stoics had this understanding of this word back in those days. It was hand upon hand. If I put my hand out here and you put your hand over mine, you would guide my hand along a path or along a certain line of craftsmanship. In our modern day vernacular, we would be called a journeyman or an apprentice, the master or the student. And that's all it is. And it's beautiful. But I tell you what right now, that is the area, verse 10, is the area that separates the Christian boys from the Christian men. Who follows? And in this incredible piece of scripture, Paul is arguing to Timothy, follow a godly example. Not those guys in the preceding verses, but Timothy. Oh, Paul's heart's warmed, but you have followed. We have some examples of this in scripture in Acts 4:13. I love this piece of scripture. God grant us this. He says in verse 13 of Acts chapter 4, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. You fall in that category? Praise God, don't we all? They marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. I love that. Do you know that at this point in time, Jesus is long gone from the earth? And these guys are out ministering, and the Pharisees are looking. And they go, hey, those guys look like a bunch of idiots. Those guys are stupid. But listen to them speak. They don't even have degrees. How can they talk like that? They must have turned to each other and said, do you have those guys in your class? Oh, I've never seen them before. That one guy, Peter, smells like a fish. but listen to him speak. And the Holy Spirit had come upon them. And they took note, they marveled at the fact that they had been with Jesus Christ, you could tell. You know why? They mimicked. They mimicked Jesus. And I wonder if they didn't kind of walk like him after Jesus had ascended and gone away. They said, you know, now that he's gone, the Holy Spirit's filled up our lives with all power and with all knowledge, and we want to walk just like he did. And they might have worn their robes the same way. When I was a little guy, I started playing, you know, Pop Warner, junior All-American football, and I was like 9 years old. And there was this animal on our team, massive guy. He always had to fast. And remember those days, guys, when you were too big and you had to make the scales, you had to weigh in? And this poor guy would sweat and fast, never got to eat because he had to make the weight. He was huge. And I was this little scrawny guy, and my mom was pumping hamburgers down my throat every day with milkshakes and this stuff called MLO to put muscle on. Because I was this little scrawny guy. And I remember this guy, John Carroll, he was real quiet, and he'd just stand there, and he'd just look around, and they'd give him the ball, and he would just run people over. And I thought, oh, that's how I want to be. Oh, I want to be just like that. And he used to carry his fingers a certain way. He would always be going like this. And I started doing that. And he was real quiet, and it's hard for me to be quiet, but he was such an example, I wanted to be just like him. I mimicked him. He got a certain helmet, and I went and told my dad. I said, I got to get one just like that. Went down to the sporting goods store and bought it. And isn't that what it's all about in a way? I mean, isn't that what happens with our children? They're mimicking our lives no matter what we do. Have you noticed? No matter what we do. Pray like this, they pray like this. Argue like this, they argue like that. We mimic our role models, our examples. Children will grow up to be like their father if they like it or not. And if it's in a negative, thank God that he redeems us. But there are godly attributes in godly men and in godly women. In John chapter 7, verse 14 and 15, it says, now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. Are we to teach? Jesus taught. Jesus taught expositionally too. He taught the books of the Bible. And the Jews marveled. This word is to be struck. They were shocked. They marveled, saying, how does this man know letters? He's not a scholar. He didn't graduate from my class, having never been a student, they said. Well, I only got one rebuttal for that. He wrote the book. He was God in the flesh, but he taught us and showed us an example. And by studying the Bible, and by mimicking godly examples, we understand that through those principles, either as a Christian or not as a Christian, you will portray a certain standard or style of living. And that will form, listen, that will form our convictions. Are you kind of, you love the Lord, you don't know the Bible too much, you really have some doubts about a lot of things? Hey, you're not going to be able to contend for the faith with all your heart. You know why? Because the Scripture doesn't have all your heart yet. But the moment you study to show yourself approved unto God, nobody will be able to withstand you. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen is preaching the gospel. He knew the Scriptures and nobody could withstand him. We need to know the Word of God, and the more you study, the greater your convictions will be. You'll be brainwashed, washed clean. And then all that, it shows in our lives that we live out that it's a proven gospel message. But he says, but you have carefully followed, and he says here, my doctrine. And by the way, people, in the Greek, it's actually this way, my doctrine, my manner of living, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering. And you might think, well, what an arrogant little bugger Paul is. No, don't think that. He is doing what we need to do. Is Jesus your Jesus this morning? Is the Bible your Bible? That's exactly what Paul is saying. My doctrine. It's not that he made it up. It's that He lives it. He possesses the doctrines of God, and he's walking them out in his life. My, my. And in a really good way, it's a possessiveness. And this word doctrine means to be adhering to his teaching or to his instruction. It's a very aggressive word that he's saying. In 1 Corinthians 2:2, the Bible tells us, Paul again speaking, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all Paul pretended to know among them. He certainly had the knowledge to share other things, but he did not. In Acts chapter 20, verse 27, he says, For I have not shunned to declare to you the full counsel of God. He gave the word of God. He gave doctrine. Now, you know what, people? Chances are my heart is more in tune with this, I pray not, than you this morning, because I've been in this for hours. But this must have been incredibly heartwarming for Timothy. There was a bunch of false prophets running around. The church was under deep attack. Paul's in jail. And Paul is telling Timothy through this letter, I'm really blessed. I'm blown away. You followed my doctrine. And in four instances, Paul refers to Timothy as my son. My son, my son, my son, my son. Four times. And this must have just warmed his heart. Because in one of those encouragements, Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:13, he says, hold fast, cling on to the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. Just like a daddy would talk to his children, or the children would pick up from the parents. The pattern or the mold of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and in love which are in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed to you. He says there in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He is portraying out and living out before Timothy not only a message, but a life. And that's the thrust of the message this morning. How are we living? Are we Christians? Are we living a dynamic Christian experience? Now, this morning, if you are not, don't shoot yourself in the foot and say, well, then I give up and I'm going to quit being a Christian. No. If you love the Lord and your life is boring as a Christian, ask Jesus Christ now in your heart, Lord, I want to be on the cutting edge. I've only lived a moment of this Christian stuff. It sounds so remote to me. Lord, I want to understand this, and I want to live it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a look at part of 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's a presentation called Follow Those Who Are True, a valuable bit of advice on emulating those godly examples we've all met. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, we'll continue with more of this mini-series that takes a look at 2 Timothy 3 and verses 10 through 15. Remember, this entire series through 1 and 2 Timothy is now available all on one convenient MP3 CD. And for your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send it your way. Just ask for the study series through 1 and 2 Timothy by Pastor Jack. Find out more, visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. To get in touch with us here by telephone, call our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the mere cost of a stamp, you can write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. And in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.